Well, I think we're close enough to time to make a start, and we shall do so in the singing of Psalm 68 from verse 24 to 27. Psalm 68 at verse 24 to 27.
Thy glory they have seen, O God, the strength of majesty. O my God, hear my mighty King within the sanctuary.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, our great Heavenly Father, we have many causes to rejoice, but already we have been reminded that a cause for our rejoicing is the way in which the Scriptures, the Psalms, draw our attention to God, and they remind us of God's doing, and God's victorious doing, and God's gracious dealings with Israel. And how it is that God's people have every reason to be confident that all things do work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. And as we do read the Scriptures and sing these psalms, we're reminded of the buoyant hope and the buoyant exuberance of victory that so often we find expressed. In these rejoicings in Israel, we share in that rejoicing. And these ancient songs of victory and joy are not simply intended to remind us of ancient things, but of present things. Embedded in the Scripture, the word of the Lord endures forever. And the same kind of exuberant joyfulness, not simply in worldly attainments and worldly achievements, but in God's achievements on our behalf. And this we recognize, Heavenly Father, is what the gospel is all about. And we recognize and we confess again this evening as we come to worship that we contribute nothing to our salvation. It is all of God and all of grace. And always it is pointing in the one direction of glory. And so we give thanks that we have the Scriptures which continually speak to us with that living utterance of the living voice of God. And even though these songs are ancient and in a sense national and Hebrew, they are worldwide, they are Catholic, and they are timeless, as they speak to the needs of all human hearts everywhere and in every time and place. And so as we gather here, help us, we pray, to remember that we stand in the day of the resurrection of Christ. It is not that we look forward to him doing something for our salvation. It is that we look back to what he has already accomplished. But we do look forward to the consummation of all things, the completion of a work already completed in a sense, but the final accomplishment revealed before the whole assembled universe. And in this we look forward, O God, knowing that in that promise of grace and glory there remains simply joy and peace, everlastingly, unchangeably so, for the people of God. And so as we come this evening, help us to look again into the gospel and into the fundamental truths of the gospel, what it is that is the foundation stone of our gospel, and how it is that this stone which the builders of every religion and every man-made society, the city of the world, Babylon all around us, this stone is rejected and resisted and despised and trampled and thrown aside, as it were, as irrelevant and useless. And yet we are reminded in the scriptures that God has taken up this stone, this precious stone, and made it the headstone of the corner, as well as the foundation. And so we pray that we would remember these things as we gather here again this evening hour, and that we'll give thanks also for the occasion and the ability to come, for the health and the strength, for the inclination, for the wherewithal that enables us to gather, and for the liberties that we enjoy that allow us to gather, and for the way in which the promise is always the same, that we're even two or three gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, that he is there in the midst of us. And so we claim his promise and his presence and the blessings that inevitably flow from what he says and what he does. And so we remember others who are sharing this building with us now. We do not know why they gather, but we know that they gather with a common interest, and we long for their salvation. And we give thanks too for those who provide for us this very pleasant venue, at a reasonable cost, but a pleasant place to gather, and they provide it for us. And so we give thanks for them also in their willingness and in their friendliness towards us. And we pray for them, for their salvation also. And so as we now seek further to read and to listen, to pray, to preach, to praise, to wait upon the Lord, we pray for God's Holy Spirit to enliven, to enlighten us, to illuminate our understanding, and to give us that leading which will take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And so these things we pray for God's glory, always for God's glory, our Heavenly Father's glory. Hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done upon the earth as it is done in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Gospel according to John and in chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And we may pick up the reading at verse number 9 in John chapter 12, at verse 9. Much people of the Jews, many of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things they understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, it bore record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by heard it, and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And we'll leave the reading there. If we go back to verse 1 of chapter 12, just to remind us of something very important. Chapter 12 in John's Gospel, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." 6 days before the Passover. Well, we'll leave the reading there. The notices, of course, are the usual ones. The services on the Lord's Day, the morning service, God willing, will be a recorded service and online and available at the time, 10:30 Sunday morning. And the afternoon service, of course, God willing, 4:30 again in this building, in the theatre. All these services, of course, are available by telephone. Even when we're gathered here, we're still recording for those who are listening in. I don't think I've got any more notices. Nothing else before me. So we'll continue then to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm 68. And we're singing from verse 28 to 32. Psalm 68, 28 to 32.
The tune is Milton. "Thy God commands thy strength made strong, but thou art for us all. For thy house at Jerusalem, King shall be his of all the children of all.